How about distractions that cause us to lose our focus on God, God's word, and his plan for each of us? We live in a world of distraction. This world is too much with us. A poet wrote that line more than 200 years ago. If it was true then, it's even more so now. We live in an age of ceaseless information and always on, if never actually deep, connection to others. The social media statistics are sobering, astonishing, you can pick your adjective. The average Facebook user spends 1,000 minutes a month, that's 17 hours, on that platform. Around the world, 1 billion hours of YouTube videos are viewed daily. During this year of pandemic, when so many of us have been stuck at home and perhaps looking at our screens more than ever, TikTok, a platform, who'd heard of TikTok a year and a half ago, grew from 28 million users to 600 million users in 1 year. Our entertainment distractions are just as endless. We talked today about streaming media, right? Entertainment arrives in a stream, like a river, like a waterfall, like a kind of an ongoing deluge. We binge our favorite shows. Have you had that experience where Netflix seems worried about you and pauses before the next episode? Craig, are you still watching The Office? Yes, I am. I'm binging. I'm going to get back to season 4, but even Netflix gets worried sometimes. And between the pandemic and politics, some days I'm sure all of us have found ourselves just glued to the news in the last year. It's a 24-hour news cycle, multiple cable outlets, online media delivering a constant barrage of news. A lot of it depressing, a lot of it bad news. And then all the talking heads get on to talk about the news they just told you about. It can be overwhelming. It's a constant interruption of the urgent, the now, that overtakes the important, the eternal. Now, checking in on social media, relaxing in front of the TV, keeping up with current events, these are not necessarily bad things. And neither are so many of our other distractions. But if we fill our lives to bursting with activities that, in and of themselves, are not negative, we still end up with the great busyness of American life. Our overscheduled lives, where we are constantly trying to fit in all the obligations that we believe we have. Everything is added to our growing calendars, even things that are good for us. They begin to crowd out what really matters. A recent survey showed that between work, chores, errands, and scheduled activities, Americans report they average less than half an hour of uncommitted time each week. Another survey conducted annually shows that every year since 1987, Americans have reported feeling busier. So busy, and this is sad, I think, 75% of parents say they don't have time to read a bedtime story to their children. Still, we live in an age of abundance and in a society that tells us we can and we should have it all. It's always and, it's never or. In the end, even these good things can become distractions from the life that God would have us lead, pulling us from the time we should be spending in his word and doing his will. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul instructs that to the Romans. Being transformed. That doesn't sound like the sort of thing you can just squeeze into your schedule, does it? All this talk of Netflix and iPhones may make it sound like distraction is a problem of the modern world, but it's not. Remember poor Martha, whose story Grant just read to us. But why does distraction matter? I mean, these activities aren't sinful in and of themselves, and that may be true. But the Christian life requires that we keep our purpose clear, our lives uncluttered and free from the things of the world that will divert our attention away from God. It is an attentive life, not a distracted one. Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Looking carefully how we walk. God wants us to pay attention. Be careful. Pay attention. In the book of Mark, as Jesus begins to tell a large crowd a parable, he starts with listen. That is, pay attention. Stop talking. Stop thinking about other things. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. And he closes the same parable with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, an admonition to pay attention to the words he has just shared with them. God's word requires and deserves our attention. To understand the scripture, to apply it to ourselves, we must listen, we must hear, and we must do so undistracted. The consequences of distraction. Giving in to the distractions of the world has serious consequences. Again, this is not a new problem. Author C.S. Lewis wrote many books about his Christian faith. I mean, most people know him for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia. In 1942, a book he published called The Screwtape Letters called out the danger of distraction. If you haven't read it, The Screwtape Letters is a fictional story of a senior demon named Screwtape who is writing to his demon nephew, giving him advice on how to pull a young Christian away from his faith. It doesn't always have to take a big temptation to pull a young man away from his faith. That would be something that the young man might recognize as a sin, Screwtape writes. Sometimes all he needs to do is feed the wandering attention of the young man, feed his distraction. Let me quote from a passage from the book here. Remember, this is the demon talking. "You no longer need a good book, which he really likes, to keep him from his prayers or his work or his sleep. A column of advertisements in yesterday's paper will do. You can make him waste his time not only in conversations he enjoys with people whom he likes, but in conversations with those he cares nothing about on subjects that bore him. You can make him do nothing at all for long periods. You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. All the healthy and outgoing activities that we want him to avoid can be inhibited and nothing given in return. So at the last, he may say, as one of my own patients said on his arrival down here, I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked." This was written nearly 80 years ago, but with a slight tweak, could have been written today. Substitute distracted reading of ads in yesterday's newspaper with that rabbit hole of a Google search that takes you from one thing to the next. Conversations with people he cares nothing about. That could be scrolling through Facebook posts from people, frankly, I haven't seen in person in 40 years. Up late at night, staring at a cold fire, staring at the TV, scrolling through a streaming service, trying to find something to watch. Screwtape continues with what is really a chilling close to this letter. "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." What C.S. Lewis is saying is clear. We can be distracted away from our faith until it is too late. Jesus himself gave us that same warning. Going back to that parable where Jesus told the crowd to listen, to hear, it's a familiar one, the parable of the sower. Mark 4, 3 through 9. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." This is the one for us this morning. "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" A little later, Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? And how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And those who are the ones along the path where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure it for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away.'" Again, this is our lesson, the thorns. "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. What we're talking about this morning are the ones sown among the thorns. The cares of the world, the distractions of this life are the thorns that choke out the gospel of Christ. We need to weed out the thorns, removing distractions to become the good soil that bears fruit. So how do we avoid the pitfalls of distractions? How do we master this all too natural impulse to have our attention caught by something novel? I'm going to offer some practical solutions using principles we can find in the Bible. First, prioritize your schedule. Do not prioritize your schedule. Wait, that sounds wrong, right? I mean, shouldn't I prioritize my schedule so I can put first things first? I would argue that this was Martha's mistake. Martha had a lot of priorities that day. I mean, guests are coming, and not just any guest, Jesus is coming. She needs to show hospitality, an expectation then as now. Hospitality is good. We're commanded to show hospitality. The house needs to be cleaned, a meal prepared. Do you need to make a trip to the market maybe to get the food? I don't know. A meal is going to be served. And of course, you'll want to hear what Jesus teaches. No matter how you prioritize that schedule, Martha will still end up giving short shrift to the one priority that, relatively speaking, is the only one that matters, the words of Jesus. As the verse says, Martha was distracted with much serving. Jesus gently and lovingly rebukes her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Mary did not prioritize her schedule. She scheduled her priorities. In this case, one, sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. And for this, she was commended by Jesus. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. When we schedule our priorities, that is, first put only those essential things into our daily calendars, into our list of must-dos, into our lives, we will recognize that we simply have no room for some things that we thought were a priority. We will stop trying to squeeze it all in, stop creating a cluttered and distracted life. We can have our focus on God, the essential, while those things that are merely good may fall away. Another tip, learn to say no. Okay, say no, thank you, it's much more polite. But still, no is in there. There is little more distracting in life than other people, right? Of course, you know, we love others and we seek to do them good, but too often we find ourselves having just scheduled our priorities with well-intentioned folks who want to put their own priorities on us. It could be a boss at work who demands extra hours. It could be friends who have something fun to do. It could be kids' activities that take up more family time than you really have available. In the case of Nehemiah, it was enemies who were plotting to stop his progress on rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. If you remember, Nehemiah had been given permission by the Persian king to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city walls, and he rallied the people to do just that very successfully. When Jerusalem's enemies learned of his success, they tried to distract him, suggesting a meeting, as if maybe this could be for negotiations, for a truce, for an alliance. "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono," their message said. The plain of Ono was about 25 miles away. Not a huge distance, so this could seem a reasonable request. In Nehemiah chapter 6, however, we hear his answer. "I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it to go down to you?" In other words, no. A polite no, but still no. And he told them no all four times they asked. Like Nehemiah, when we are working on the walls of our faith, we need to be ready to say no to the distractions that others may bring us. Third, use reminders to maintain your focus. A purposeful reminder can help break the flow of distraction and return our focus to the things that matter. God knows this, and the Bible has many examples of instruction to create reminders that would focus his children on spiritual matters. Some were physical. In the book of Joshua, we read of the 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel, that were to be set as a memorial of the crossing of the Jordan, that it may be a sign among you when your children ask, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Some reminders were special events or special occasions. Passover, which just started this weekend, was an annual reminder of God's deliverance of the Jewish people from their Egyptian slavery and the sparing of their firstborn in the final plague. The Lord's Supper, which we just observed, calls us each week to focus on the sacrificial death of Christ for our sins. Even the commands about this reminder demand that we remove distractions from our minds and focus. In 1 Corinthians, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, that is in a distracted fashion, will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. We can set up our own reminders to break personal habits of distraction. As annoying as a smartphone can be, it can also be used to set alerts to stop and read the Bible. There are apps that can track your progress in your daily Bible reading. Sticky notes, prayer lists, plan dedicated time for spiritual pursuits. The key is to identify the distractions and give yourself a reminder to focus on the essential. Finally, keep your purpose clear by focusing where God directs us to focus. There is nothing wrong with taking a mental break, watching a favorite TV show, catching up with friends on Facebook or Instagram, but don't let these innocuous media consumption habits become nothing but an endless stream of distractions. Look to the words of Paul in Philippians 4, verse 8, as he gives a path to a more attentive, purposeful approach to what we see, hear, and take in. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So as we head out of the building in a little bit, this to take on the week, I challenge all of us and myself, so very definitely included here, to identify at least one and maybe more distractions that may be keeping us from God, to apply our focus to the essential over the good, focusing on, as Jesus told Martha, the one thing that is needed. Perhaps you're here today and have not taken that essential step of putting on Christ in baptism. Or perhaps you have other needs that you want to confess and ask for forgiveness and support from the congregation. If either is the case, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.